This is Morgan Michael, welcoming you to Kindsight 101, the podcast, where you'll hear from world-renowned educational leaders about the mobilizing power of kindness, together by challenging our assumptions and venturing beyond the status quo in education. We can make a big impact, one small act at a time.
One skill I would say is taking it easy. What do I mean by this? I just mean that the student that you're seeing, don't see them as a student because they're just a person. They're the same way you're not a teacher, you're just a person. I think that, if you think back to when you were a kid and you used to look at teachers and, you know, you would see, okay, these are teachers. These are people that are not me. These are other people that you're a third party interacting with. But the teachers you really love, they were just people. They were just no different than the person at the cafe, the person at the restaurant, the person at the airport. They're just people that you're sharing an experience with. And I think that intrinsically, youth can pick up on that super easily when you're trying to be a teacher. Kids can feel that when you're sharing versus teaching.
Raphael Vincent is a Haitian-born artist and activist based out of Victoria, British Columbia, who celebrates the concept of strength through unity in order to bring about a sense of belonging and identity to school-age students through the creation of a collaborative mandala made from common household items. Raphael hopes to create a healing symbol for those involved in the system and bringing students together for the greater good. In this conversation, Raphael and I talk about art as a healing force, the unity of humanity, and Raphael shares an easy exercise that can help any creativity skeptic regain a sense of his or her own creativity. You can find out more about Raphael on his website, www.theunitymandala.com, or by following him on Instagram, Raphael Devi. I want to welcome you, Raphael, to my podcast, Kindsight 101. I'm really excited to learn more about the Mandala Project, which has been a really important transformational process for a lot of kids and adults that you work with in schools. And I just want to welcome you on the show. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'd like to start with the Mandala Project because I think that that's sort of what you've been leading with in the educational community. And then I'd love to delve into what inspired you to create it and what you hope for the project. So maybe first you can start just by introducing yourself to the audience and then maybe talking about what the Mandala Project is.
I'm originally from Haiti, Port-au-Prince, Haiti. And my family left Haiti when I was 11, 12, and we kind of went to the States and then we came to Canada. And since then, I've grown up in Victoria, BC, and I've always been an entrepreneur and different mindsets and trying to always create a business or an organization or make people smile and be happy, but bring people together as well. And recently, my latest endeavor has been the Mandala Project. It's a collaborative art initiative as a way to bring people together to build a mandala. And if people don't know the word mandala, it's a Sanskrit word. It literally means circle, but it also represents much more than that. It represents the universe, really, and the patterns that kind of create the physical structure of the world that we live in today. It's a really simple creation, but complex. like you saw the pictures of, right, Morgan?
Yes, and I'll definitely be linking some your accounts on the show notes as well so that people can see it, because it's spectacular.
This is a very visual thing to see.
Yes.
And when you visually see it, everything makes sense. For the whole show, I won't say what it's made out of. That way people can get the surprise themselves when they see.
Okay.
A mandala, we can talk about mathematics, science, art, music. And in schools, I kind of bring together that interconnectedness of the disciplines where in mathematics, we talk about sacred geometry. In science, we talk about cymatics. Music, about vibration. And the kids get to paint a piece of the mandala. And we even cover languages where there's a reflective writing part. You know, the ideology behind the project is we hang together as one or we fall alone as individuals. Mm-hmm. But only groups of individuals will bond together as one.
And so when I think about that idea, and again, not wanting to give it away, this really reflects, I think, the direction that policy and lead educators want to take with education. And I think it really reflects the greater world, is this idea that we are not living in silos where we're interested in just particular topics. It's that everything is so interconnected.
I try and share with students, your eye is a Mandela. If you have an eye, we're all walking Mandelas. You know, we have that imprint, that beautiful imprint.
I'd like to talk a little bit about, I know that, I think I read or I saw somewhere that your dad inspired you with this project somehow. Can you speak to your family connection to this?
So my family connection to the Mandela Project, it kind of starts with the work that we do already. My family runs a pharmacy in Victoria, and it specializes for people in recovery from substance use. So a lot of our clients are in transition from recovering from opioids to alcohol to everything you can imagine that's on the streets. And we work a lot with the homeless, the street community in Victoria. And we opened up a nonprofit society called the Daily Dose Society. Now, my family did it differently, where our pharmacy doesn't sell bubblegum and Kit Kat. You know, to paint a picture, there's the artwork of all the clients on the wall. There's coffee, there's computers. It's really a different environment, a different space. We have 65 storage lockers for homeless clients, and we hold that space for the people. Mm. And with the nonprofit society, the Daily Dose Society, we have a driving service where we drive people around to doctor's appointments, court, parole, probation, wherever people need to get to not have more situations come up in their lives. Mm. And this work is not easy, because you're dealing with a lot of trauma, you're dealing with a lot of pain, and when you're surrounded enough with all that pain and stories, it comes onto you a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's always overdoses. There's always people passing away. We've had dozens of clients that, you know, really friends that pass away, and it takes a toll on everyone at work. But that's the hard work of the outreach community, right?
Hmm.
So for me, the Mandela Project was almost a way to balance out those energies.
Okay. You know? Yeah, that's interesting. I was going to ask, what is your outlet then to create a place for you to have that self-compassion? Because I think when you're carrying and you're making space for people, their trauma, their backpacks full of all of their experiences, and you're sitting alongside them, and I think about this as a connection to education, because many educators are on the front lines of people and little people who don't know how to process their trauma. And and the stats are unbelievable. Like, even in some of the schools you wouldn't expect, there's tremendous trauma. And so, yeah. So tell me how the Mandela Project and your creativity or artwork kind of helps you to ground yourself.
You know, the Mandela Project is really, it's really me. It's really, I'm just sharing me with people. And I'm very happy that schools have allowed me to share me, because I share my experience and my lens of the world. You know, I share, when we're in the classrooms with the kids, I bring a speaker, we play music from West Africa, music from Belize, music from Honduras, music from around the world, music the kids would have never heard before in their lives.
Mm.
Or never heard before until they get older and are exposed to different things. So it's a beautiful way for me to share my culture, but also see the impact that it has. And, you know, I would have some kids be like, oh, can I have your playlist? Can you share your playlist with me? And to me, that's as important as that's medicine right there. Music is medicine. It opens my heart every time to be able to share that love with the kids. And to build these art pieces where, you know, sometimes some people might not feel that they're creative and might not feel like they have an outlet to express themselves. People just need an environment that kind of allows them to be vulnerable. And that's okay. And then we build a really cool art piece together. And the kids are like, what the heck did we just build? Like, they're like, out of this simple item that this simple household item, we build something magical. And that's what I want to show the kids, that anything simple, any household item is magical.
Wow, that's so profound. And I think while you're building, first of all, a lot of tension for the listeners, because they, if they don't know about your project yet, they're like, how does he do it? And what is this object, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. I want to dig into that creativity piece a bit, because I think I have heard, as an educator, I have heard so many of my colleagues say, oh, I'm not creative. Like, give me something to copy, sure, but I'm not intrinsically creative. And I totally agree with you that that is a fallacy. Like, every human being has the potential for creativity and the potential, I think, to grasp that feeling of inspiration. What's your take on creativity and maybe where it comes from, but also how we give ourselves like permission to tap into it?
I feel that when you have, especially in adults, when you have adults say, I'm not creative, it's not that they don't think they have the potential. What they're saying is that when I attempt a creative act, it doesn't produce the outcome I would like it to produce.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is, for example, they're adults, you know, they know how to write, they know how to read. But for example, they can write better than a fifth grader, right? So when they think in a linear process, when they think that, okay, if I'm 60 years old or 50 years old, I should be creating, my first art piece should be a mature 50-year-old quality art piece. As if they've been painting for 50 years. But that's just automatic in their subconscious that, you know, whether they're doing anything, when they're learning a new technology, because they're old, they're older, they're mature in different things, they feel that maturity should apply right away to something new. But it's not true. You know, creativity is much like a sport. There's talent involved in it, but there's also hard work, and there's also nurturing that creativity. I feel that what they need is an ability to create something and feel satisfied after the first creation.
And how do we do that? Like, I mean, because I think you're right. I think that is totally why it's easier for a kid to start in whatever area they want to get better at, because they sort of see themselves maybe not through this lens of achievement, but more through the experience, right? And I think, like, as adults, when we're doing something creative, we might have really good taste in that particular topic. Like,
exactly.
If we're doing music, we have really great taste in that music. But if we're a beginner, it's like our ability doesn't match up to that
exactly.
Taste.
They're like, what am I doing? Like, I should be playing a concerto right now. I should not be listening to squeaks and squizzles.
Yeah. So what do you say to people then? What's your advice to people when they have that negative self-talk about their efforts when they're trying something new?
I think one of my favorite ways of introducing people to art is... maybe you can do this right now. Do you have a pen and paper in front of you?
I sure do.
Okay. And whoever's listening, I guess they could do the same thing. And it'd be really fun to, you will see. So take a piece of paper.
Okay.
And I'll just scribble everywhere. Just scribble circles, dashes, whatever. Just keep scribbling. Don't get the pen off the paper. Scribble all over for like 10 seconds.
Okay.
So after you do that, you have this kind of like spider web mesh in front of you, right?
Sure.
And... now, just look at it and squint your eyes just a little bit and see what shapes and forms you see have been created through this massive scribble.
I see like curved shapes. I see a circle, ovals.
Now, out of one of the circles, create like a face. Like, see if you can see like a face of like something that, of like anything, like a face that's been drawn in front of you.
Yeah, okay.
And that's creativity right there. That's as simple as... anything, and as complex as anything as well.
What it is almost about your perspective, hey?
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's a fun activity actually to do with anybody.
Anyone. You just scribble a page and then just look at it long enough and some things will pop up.
And boom, you're an artist.
Boom, you're an artist. There we go. Instant satisfaction. You know?
But I think it is. I think it's like, can you create the narrative that says that I'm on the road to where I want to get to. And then that's enough of the satisfaction, right? Of the creativity.
And I guarantee you, if you do this exercise every day and then you compare your, and like what you can do is take your pencil and sketch over the areas that you created, like a, you see like a face or a picture or something, And then I kind of create like an actual like painting out of that. So you kind of sketch over the eyes or the face or the mouth. And if you do that every day, you'll see that every time you look at your scribbles, they get more and more complex because you're allowing yourself to see more every time. So I can tell you the story behind how I came about this project.
Yeah.
I was, I always know and feel that things manifest when you put your energy out there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So one day I was kind of like wondering, okay, I need certain items for the house. And I had roommates moving in and I needed these items for them to have in their room. So I said, okay, so I kind of just thought about it, put a little good manifestation out there. And then you let it go, live your life. A week or 2 weeks later, things usually pop up for me at least.
Hmm.
So now, as I'm driving home, I had an idea. Oh, I should stop by Value Village. Value Village is a secondhand consignment store. So I passed by Value Village and I went to the donation section. Then I saw a fellow with two garbage bags full of items that I needed, the actual items that I needed.
Hmm.
So I said, hey, man, do you mind if I have these, if I can borrow them? And he was like, no problem. And he was like, just gave me a big hug. Now I had two garbage bags full of items that I needed for the house.
Wow. Like the items you had wanted to
exactly.
manifest? That's unreal.
Exactly.
Wow.
So after that happened, I was like, okay, this is good. I took care, you know, put everything in the house, make it look clean. But now I had one garbage bag left over with the items. Then afterwards, 2 weeks later, nothing passed by. And then I just kind of walked around and then I was like, okay, I have to do something with this. It's kind of like the scribble. After you do enough scribbles, take a look at it. What's going to happen now?
Nice.
And then I just started playing around. I just started having fun. I started playing. And the next thing you know, boom, the mandala's created.
No way.
Just like that.
And what?
And after the mandala was created, I knew there was something different there and something that it was really a gift that was shared with me.
Yeah.
That's how I see it. It was a gift that was shared with me to share with other people. And the way I came about building the project as a school project was I didn't want to sell the art. I didn't want to fall into that cycle of creating, selling, which I'm not against, but it's just that's not where my energy lies. That's not where I see I can do the best impact.
Okay.
Because as an artist, as a human being, for me, what's important is who do you impact through your art? Who do you inspire? And how do you introduce yourself to the world? And in that way of thinking, I just left the art piece in my house for 3 months. And after 3 months, the idea came, okay, we can build this with people.
Wow.
So the first group that I did was a Baha'i group. And it was a Baha'i community youth leadership camp. And my friend was running it. And then I said, hey, do you mind if I run this project with the kids? She was like, no problem. So I came in, had all the paint supplies, and we did the first project. And every participant painted two pieces of the mandala, one for yin, one for yang, and their topic was hope and despair.
Huh.
So they already had like a reading, readings and things they were doing as a group. But now this art piece, this mandala created with all the youth, represented the unity of their outlook on hope and despair and what that means to them.
Wow, that's so cool. And now if we were to connect this project to other classes, I mean, you can really choose any theme that's maybe juxtaposed but somehow fits the yin and yang idea where you kind of need
exactly.
one and you need the other and to
exactly.
balance it. And I think you've used it for graduation ceremonies, which is something that I kind of want to draw attention to because when I think about my listeners, a lot of them are educators and so they're looking for different creative ideas. So can you talk about how it might be used for a graduation ceremony, say in grade, you know, from elementary school to middle school or from middle school
yeah.
to high school or even from high school to the world?
Yeah. So the transitional ceremonies that youth go through, it's a very special time. It's a very special time for them to be embraced, welcomed, and celebrated. There's a very specific reason why I chose to do the Mandela Project primarily for transitional graduation ceremonies. And that's because it allows the project to stay sacred and unique. It represents the transition that they go through from one phase in their lives to another phase in their lives together. And to me, there's nothing more beautiful than that, because you're allowing a physical imprint. You know, for me, it's like, take the yearbook and put it into a Mandela 5 feet, 20 feet, 10 feet art piece, and that's what we're doing. Mm-hmm. We're taking their experience, their happiness, their joy, their discomfort, their insecurities, and we're building a Mandela collectively with everyone.
And it's like a legacy. Like, it's almost like an artifact that leaves behind a legacy, right?
Yeah, it's a physical artifact that leaves a legacy. And what I love the most about it is that when the piece is done, nobody owns the piece. I don't own the piece either. The students don't own the piece, because it's everybody's piece. And the idea is that as the project continues and we do more schools, after a while, the schools are going to wonder, where are we going to put all these Mandelas? You know, like, where are they going to go? I have a plan for that, and that's a legacy tree. And what I'd like to do is, the Mandelas that are built, as the new one is built and the old one's taken out of the school could have a artificial tree built, but the branches of the tree, the leaves would be the Mandelas that the kids created.
Whoa, that's cool. That's really neat.
So because you've seen the piece, you kind of know what I'm talking about. You could have different leaves come together and you kind of, you know, create lotus flowers out of the Mandelas.
Wow, that's really cool. And that kind of represents life too, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's the legacy of the kids of the school. I would love for every student to have a professional picture taken of their eye.
Hmm.
And that being printed out and given to the student. We are all walking Mandelas. Everything that they're learning throughout the workshops of sacred geometry, cymatics, art, vibration, in times of sadness, trauma, or even joy, I think that just a simple image of someone's eye, of your own eye, will remind you of who you are and your center. And I think that every time someone looks in the mirror, it'd be beautiful for them to remember that they're all walking Mandelas. That's all.
Wow, that's amazing. And I think it connects then to that greater vision of unity as well, that it's within, yes, we see it within ourselves, so we kind of see each other within ourselves, if that makes sense, right? It's kind of a cycle. Yeah,
exactly.
That's really cool. What does kindness mean to you, Raphael?
Kindness really to me represents one's ability to step into someone else's shoes. When you really take someone's full history, and if you were to put that in your mind, in your body, you would become that person. A simple example is, for example, the child soldiers in different countries around the world. If you put yourself and experience what they experience, you would become them.
Mm-hmm.
If they put themselves and experience what you experience, they would become you. To be able to see someone who is harming people or is hurt themselves, the kindness just represents being able to acknowledge that and being like, okay, I don't approve what's going on, but I understand. If you think that your way of living is a more harmonious, peaceful way, so share the foods you eat, the videos you watch, the friends you have, because something as simple as sharing an experience with someone will change their outlook on their lives.
What one skill or superpower do you think that a teacher needs to lead with in order to be effective?
One skill I would say is taking it easy. What do I mean by this? I just mean that the student that you're seeing, don't see them as a student, because they're just a person. They're the same way you're not a teacher, you're just a person. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, if you think back to when you were a kid and you used to look at teachers and, you know, you would see, okay, these are teachers. These are people that are not me. These are other people that you're a third party interacting with. But the teachers you really love, they were just people. They were just no different than the person at the cafe, or the person at the restaurant, the person at the airport. They're just people that you're sharing an experience with. And I think that intrinsically, youth can pick up on that super easily when you're trying to be a teacher. Kids can feel that when you're sharing versus teaching.
Wow. I don't think anybody has ever said it that way before. And finally, what quote would you print on one of those quote cups that could be sold in big bookstores around the world?
Always surround yourself with strong people. And if you cannot find them, become one, then they'll find you.
Did you have anything that you wanted to add before we wrap up our conversation? Like, for example, where people can find you and find out more about your project?
You can visit the website at theunitymandela.com, or you can find my page on Instagram at Raphael Divi, RAPHAELDIVI. Yeah, that's kind of, I'm excited for listeners to be able to see what we've been talking about the whole time now.
Me too. Yeah, it's quite the hook.
Yeah, and I think that's a way also to doing justice to the Mandela Project, and you know, I'm just sharing, you know, and you're welcome to listen and give advice as well.
Love it. And I think what I'll do is I'll definitely share the links on the show notes so that people can find that. Absolutely. Well, Raphael, this has been such a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
I want to thank you for the wonderful reviews that you've left for this podcast on iTunes. Your reviews make a big difference in helping other educators find this show. If you think that I'm doing good work here and you'd like others to get inspired and join our 21-day kindness challenge and movement, I'd love it if you would take a minute, head over to iTunes, and leave a review. Thank you so much. This has been another episode of Kindsight 101, the podcast. For links to resources mentioned in this episode, visit smallactbigimpact.com and click on our podcast and choose this episode number. Now, I'd love to give my audience a heads up about my new book, which will provide ideas, actionable strategies, and inquiry-based approaches to creating kinder classroom through serving the community. Subscribe to my blog for more information. Now, I would love to hear from you. What's the biggest insight that you gain from this conversation? Head over to our website, smallactbigimpact.com, leave a comment on our podcast page, or tag and connect with us on social media with the hashtag smallactbigimpact to share your inspiring story of kindness. Can't wait to hear from you.